Today's Issues continues on AFR.
And welcome back to the Tuesday edition of Today's Issues. Tim and Ed away. A couple of the news guys, and we've deputized Dr. Alex McFarland to join us on this edition of the news coup of today.
Yes. Reporting for issues. Duty.
Yes.
Maybe we could have you serve as Surgeon General.
Not that kind of doctor,
oh,
right,
sorry.
Alex?
Sorry.
Not that kind that can do you any good.
Yeah, that's right. Spiritual surgery from time to time, right?
A doctor of souls.
A doctor of souls. There you go. Steve, good to have you with us. Steve Jordahl.
Good to be here.
What's cooking this hour?
All right. I just want to say a word here, Alex will love to get your thoughts, but we don't need to spend a long time on this, but my Twitter feed is a dumpster fire right now. There are so many conspiracy theories going around of fairly incredible things. Folks, just, I won't even mention them all. I will say that as far as we know, President Biden is alive.
Yes.
When you get to something like Twitter, folks, read with a grain of salt. Don't be suckered in to every little whim. Wait until you hear it from a reliable source, maybe like AFN. We're not going to publish anything we haven't verified. So just a word of caution, because, boy, social media can start fires, right, Alex? Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true. And, you know, half the time on Twitter, I'll see things, some things that are encouraging, some things that are perplexing. But you don't always know that it's the real person. I mean, just because it says Elon Musk tweeted something, you know, you don't know that it was really his account, or, you know, fill in the celebrity of your choice.
That's it, exactly. And I tell you what, you know, what the shame today is, a lot of our young people are getting their news from their social media. And it's one of the problems that's been identified. We were talking just before the newscast about what's going on, Israel facing the enemy on seven fronts. A lot of these young people being interviewed who are protesting against Israel in this country, when they're asked details about, you know, they're chanting from the river to the sea, they can't mention what river are you talking about? They have no idea. They have no idea what the sea is. They don't even know where Israel is.
Right.
You know, this, but they're blindly chanting these things because they believe what's being told them on social media. So it's a real danger. Yep. It's a real danger. You know, in the news business, you have to have at least two or three sources before you can be sure of a story. And in this day and age, as you are pointing out, Steve, on social media, there's just so much garbage out there.
And I got to tell
be
you,
very, very careful.
It's weird.
Yeah.
So we had some confusion last night in the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, folks, this is a little bit in the weeds, but I thought it was important to bring up with Alex here. The Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, this is a body that basically interfaces politics and lobbying with the Southern Baptist Convention. Past president includes Mr. Russell Moore, who left not only the ERLC, but the whole Southern Baptist Convention and became the editor of Christianity Today. That's a whole other story. But last night, we had a story that popped up on Baptist Press, which is the official publication of the Southern Baptist Convention, that said that Brent Leatherwood, who is the head of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, was fired. He's out. And why was he fired? Well, because he said something kind about Joe Biden, which struck me as a little odd. And then this morning, no, I'm sorry, we changed our mind. He's not out, but the president of the head of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Executive Committee is out. His name is Kevin Smith. So, Alex, I don't know if you have connections or you're talking to people, but what in the world is going on in the SBC right now?
Well, you know, this is one of the reasons that churches and pastors need to understand where their missions money is going, you know, because this is a very high line item dollar amount, the ERLC. You know, I worked for the North American Mission Board from 98 to 03, and my title was National Field Director for Apologetics. And then Richard Land was there, who, great, brilliant I mean, in my opinion, right on all the issues. Richard Land was. He eventually retired. The ERLC became kind of a talking point among those of us that are conservative Baptists during the time of Russell Moore because, you know, a lot of people don't know Russell Moore at one time had worked for Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
And I often said that under Russell Moore, the ERLC was like the sectarian wing of the Democrat Party. But now, you know, this... Brent Leatherwood is out. No, never mind. He's back in. I don't know. It just shows not only the leadership disarray, but also, look, let me just say this, guys. When you stand for what's right, you just lay it out there unequivocally. You know, this is right. This is wrong. This is biblical. This is not. You don't have to equivocate. And under Russell Moore, and by the way, Russell Moore has repeatedly reprimanded we poor ignorant Christians that need wise sages like himself to lead us. He reprimands those of us that support Trump. And let me say, I just, as a minister and as a scholar and as a broadcaster, by example, I try to be unequivocal. Here is truth, and here is what God's Word says. We Baptists need to do that as well. The muddy, murky middle, that's not the place to influence people and change the world.
Fred, can I ask you about what he said? Brent Leatherwood said that kind of caused this, and I want to get your thoughts about appropriate talk about what's...
from what I heard from those initial stories, he issued a statement with regards to President Biden stepping down and basically saying how I'm paraphrasing here. It was a difficult decision, but he praised President Biden for doing what was good for the country.
I could read it here. He said, "We should all express our appreciation that President Biden has put the needs of the nation above his personal ambition, despite what some partisans will say. To walk away from power is a selfless act, the kind that has become all too rare in our culture." I have some questions about the truth of that statement, but is it inappropriate for the ERLC head to express such sentiments?
Well, I think it's not so much expressing sentiments because it is a liaison between the Southern Baptists and political issues. So, you know, if this involved a Republican, maybe the head of the ERLC might say something. But to your point, Joe Biden did not step down voluntarily.
No.
He didn't. He was forced out, as we've talked about just in the first hour. At least 30 Democrats publicly saying you got to go. Pelosi, Obama, you know, the Hollywood types that fund the Democratic Party all turned against Joe Biden in the wake of that disaster called a debate on the on June 27th. So to the facts of the matter, he is misrepresenting the facts when he says, you know, Joe just thought about it and thought it was time to go. No. But to the statement... As far as making a comment about an action by a political leader, I don't have as much trouble about that.
All right. Mm. Hey, guys, there was a fire in Dallas over the weekend on Friday night. The historic sanctuary of First Baptist Dallas, this is Dr. Robert Jeffress' church, burned to the ground. Basically, there's a facade still standing, but everything behind the wall is ashes. It's gone. And I'm going to play you a little bit. Doctor, they met at the Dallas Convention Center. They moved all their operation over to that for this Sunday. Dr. Jeffress tells me it's probably just going to be for a week. They just wanted to make sure that because the new sanctuary, the new building is right next to the old one. They just wanted to make sure that it's sound. But I want you to hear Dr. Jeffress talking about what's going to happen next for his community. This is Cut 14.
But ladies and gentlemen, it is Sunday morning. It is a day of resurrection And I am pledging to you, we're going to rebuild that sanctuary as a standing symbol of the truth, the unchangeableness, the endurance of the Word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God shall stand forever.
Kind of get an idea why he's a powerful preacher.
That's right. Alex, First Baptist Dallas, very famous.
And, oh, my goodness.
They built the new facility back several years ago, and but they left standing at least some of the old building there and were still using it. But Pastor Jeffress, those weren't just words. Those were his heart in all of this. For one thing, you know, I was always impressed. First Baptist Dallas did not move out to the burbs. No. It stayed downtown.
True.
And it hasn't diminished what First Baptist Dallas is all about.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Robert Jeffress is just one of the great clergy of our time, not only in our nation, but really in the world. And, of course, most people would know First Baptist Dallas has this rich history from W.A. Criswell. By the way, folks, you ought to Google the Scarlet Thread of Redemption, where one New Year's Eve many decades ago, W.A. Criswell preached through the entire Bible and talked about the plan of salvation. You know, Criswell was huge, and the SBC was greatly influenced by he. And there's a dear lady named June Hunt that's just a great American leader in terms of youth ministry. But our prayers are certainly with First Baptist. I was there. I got to speak in the Roe versus Wade courtroom when First Baptist Dallas 2 years ago had a Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And Dr. Jeffress and I walked through that old historic sanctuary, and it was my privilege to get a little tour of it led by Dr. Jeffress himself. So when he, you know, enthusiastically says they'll rebuild, he'll get it done. He's a great man of God, and we need to pray for that church.
There was one artifact that survived the fire.
Really?
Dr. Criswell's pulpit.
Wow.
Wow.
It
looked like it got some smoke, but Heather, my wife, showed me the picture last night, and you can still stand in.
And I saw the pictures of the fire. That was no just bit fire. It was huge.
Four-alarm fire.
Yeah.
And, in fact, when he said, but it's Sunday, it's resurrection, Dr. Jeffress had said that when he was standing in front of that building on fire on Friday, he was reminded of the verse that says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church.
Mm-hmm.
He said on Friday night, it looked like the gates of hell had prevailed. The fire was everywhere. The building was gone. He said it felt like the gates of hell were prevailing. And then you heard him say, but today's Sunday, a day of redemption, of resurrection, and we will rebuild. So, yeah, good for them.
Steve, do they know the cause of the fire?
I haven't read anything from an official like arson or anything, but what I've been hearing consistently from, at least from Dr. Jeffress and from the church, is that they do not suspect that Dr. Jeffress's support of or association with Donald Trump is a factor in this.
Okay.
And by the way, he said that he was very grateful because just 2 hours prior to the fire breaking out, they had 2,000 children in that building doing vacation Bible school.
Yes.
Wow.
All right, Steve.
All right. We often talk about the dangers of the new gender regime that's going on out here where there's 25,000 genders and the transgender, what we're doing to transgender kids, to kids who have some sexual questions or confusion, one of the parents of one of those happens to be Elon Musk. And this is perhaps a story about changing worldview when you hit with reality. But Elon Musk, who, as you know, is the head of Tesla, SpaceX, and a number of other companies, has a son named Xavier. And Xavier got caught up in this confusion. And I want you to hear Elon Musk, because what he says here is I think, a good picture of evolution of how we can, with new facts and everything, new experiences, we change our worldview. He's talking here to Dr. Jordan Peterson, who is also himself going through some evolutions of worldview. I want you to hear what he has to say. This is Cut 13.
It happened to one of my older boys. I was essentially tricked into signing documents for one of my older boys, Xavier. You know, I was told, oh, Xavier might commit suicide if he
did. That was a lie right from the outset.
Incredibly evil, and I agree with you that people that have been promoting this should go to prison.
That's
so I was tricked into doing this. It wasn't explained to me that puberty blockers are actually just sterilization drugs. And so I lost my son, essentially. They call it dead naming for a reason.
Yeah,
the reason it's called dead naming is because your son is dead. So my son Xavier is dead. He's killed by the woke mind virus.
You know, Alex, it is so disturbing when we see members of the medical community and certainly politicians who are pushing through laws that promote this, despite the fact by just biologically, scientifically speaking, they're putting drugs in people's bodies that will change those bodies forever. Mm-hmm. And we've done programs on this, and it's, you know, there's these decisions are being made. It is so, and when I say politicians now passing laws, there's a law now in California, Alex, against that parents, the school system does not need to tell the parents if their little Johnny or their Jane comes to them saying they believe they're now another sex and they want change. There's now a law in the books in California that the parents do not need to be notified. This is draconian. Things being put into law, shutting the parents out of this, shutting parents like Elon Musk out of the anything to do with the decision with their sons and daughters and what their confusion is about their biological sex.
Well, it's immoral. It really is. And let me say this. My heart goes out to Elon Musk there lamenting the loss of his son through these puberty blockers. We could do a whole show on this. And by the way, I want to encourage people to pray for Elon Musk and Jordan Peterson. I had the privilege last fall at the Pray Vote stand to talk with someone who's a personal friend of Jordan Peterson. And he is real. If he hasn't put his faith in Christ, he's very, very close to doing so. And so, like you say, these sad circumstances are having an impact on people like Elon Musk and Jordan Peterson. But here's my point. We are, as a nation, because we have lost, to a large degree, our moral compass, we don't even know what it means to be a human being. We've got, by the way, isn't it funny? Websites that sell transgender T-shirts will have both men's and women's sizes.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. We have to have the moral courage and, frankly, the presence of mind to say, look, a man is not a woman. And it is impacting the medical community. I've looked at medical journals and I've interviewed doctors and nurses. I've said on today's issues that I interviewed oncology doctors and nurses from the Bowman Gray School of Medicine. They pled that I would not use their names on air, and I won't. But to transition and the HRT, the hormone replacement therapy drugs, to transition is to give yourself cancer. There are 17 types of cancers that people who transition experience on a pretty wide scale basis. So this is immoral, and regardless of the spiritual implications, any rational adult should be against LGBTQ trans issues because, for one thing, one gender cannot change into another gender, but the artificial means by which the medical community is trying to do this, it's causing all sorts of problems, and human life and welfare is what's the cost.
You know, I have no doubt that there is a lot of people in influential places are ideological on this. They're not scientific. Every trans person that they are a kid that they're able to convince to change their so-called change their gender is a notch in their belt. They just it's evil what they're doing and know that they're doing. I do, however, have some sympathy for a parent, at least early on in this discussion, if somebody that seemed to be reputable, has a degree after their name or whatever, says, if you don't do this, your child is going to commit suicide, which is what Elon Musk was told.
Yeah.
That's a tough position to put a parent in. I have a little bit of sympathy there, you think, Alex?
I mean, there's a lot of pressure, no doubt. And, you know, every good parent wants the welfare of their child to be preeminent. But look, folks, that's why we get a second opinion. Mm. You know, that's why more than ever, you know, I and many great people teach worldview, and not only biblical worldview, but critical thinking skills, that we don't, in the noise of ideology and agenda, that we don't get misled, certainly in that most important of subjects, how we raise our children.
Yep. All right. We've got about a minute and a half left. You want to end with something a little lighter?
Sure.
Because I've got some headlines from the most accurate news source ever, the Babylon Bee. So take these with a grain of salt. This is parody. I guess I should have to say that. But we now know that Secret Service Kimberly Cheadle, the director, has resigned. And according to the Babylon Bee, Secret Service director resigns in disgrace for failing to assassinate President Trump.
Oh. That's a bit too pithy.
Yeah, just okay. President Biden is going to lie in state until the election, which time he will stand up and welcome the new president. And there's been, you know how they're putting new advisory labels on movies?
Mm-hmm.
There's a new label that has gone on, if you ever watch Fiddler on the Roof, they have a new advisory added to Fiddler on the Roof due to the intense pitched roofs that are actually in the movie. So,
yeah, that line about pitched roof not putting people, that Alex, that one is going to live on for a long, long time. Because yeah, I think 99% of Americans didn't buy that right off the bat.
Yeah, any you know, handicap ramp or flight of stairs is much steeper than that roof. That was just a horrible excuse. But
yeah, she's gone. She was caught lying. There was a lot of very very pointed questions at her for some people that you wouldn't expect it from at that hearing yesterday. So it doesn't surprise me that she.
But we need to get to the bottom of the line of decision making. That is still not clear. We do not know who the person was that did the site survey in advance of all of this. We don't have that information yet. I'm hoping the Inspector General for Homeland Security, who is set apart from the political side of things, finally gets to the bottom of that. Because we do need to know if there was any kind of political consideration, or were they told you don't have the resources to do this properly. We need to get that information. All right, Steve Jordahl, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Dr. Alex McFarland, always a joy.
Blessings
to you. And you're heading out to address how many young people there again at your camp?
About 175 teens and a couple of dozen adults.
All right.
And then I'll be on Exploring the Word this afternoon.
That's right. You're a busy guy. All right. Much more great programming here at American Family Radio all day long. Been good to be with you. Go out there and be a blessing to someone today. We'll see you again soon.